is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Good morning, Canada. You're listening to The Fantasy Show delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Shaw Ali and Andy McNamara here alongside you as we'll get you set for week three in the NFL, breaking down every game going on today and tomorrow, of course, and get into every start-sit situation across the league. We'll discuss the early active and inactive lists, some big players with news on them already. And of course, we'll briefly talk about the Thursday nighter that was between the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans. But before all of that, before we get to all the juicy stuff this week in week three across the NFL, of course, if you're a regular listener of this program, or maybe you just recently found out that Sportsnet has a live fantasy sports show, and you wanted some advice, whatever the case may be, and don't forget, the People's Text Line is open, 590-590. Send us your text about your fantasy lineup questions. Andy and I will get to all of those on the air in the next hour. But either way, you may be surprised to hear me steering the ship today, driving the bus today, whatever you want to call it. Andy usually does that. Now, look, he is here. He is on the line. But Andy is actually not in Toronto today. And now, Andy, do you remember that TV show, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? This is more like, Where is Andy McNamara?
Where in the world is
Andy McNamara?
Where in the world is Andy McNamara this Sunday morning?
Show, good morning. Good morning, everybody. I am in God's country, show. I am in Cleveland, Ohio. Right now, I'm at the beautiful Drury Plaza Hotel, right across from the Key Center, minutes away from First Energy Stadium. We're here all weekend, and it has been an absolute blast. So I'm here. I'm geared up. Outside show, there's people head to toe in Browns gear. There's a few Bears fans floating around for the Browns-Bears game.
Be nice to
but
you.
I'm in a boardroom here at the Drury Plaza, so I hope I come through okay and everything's sounding good, but yeah, it's been a heck of a weekend, and I'm here. So as soon as this show's done, show as soon as 10 a.m. Eastern hits, it's off. The reins are off.
The reins are off. So you're saying that if we don't get to anyone's texts on the air, I'll be answering those questions by myself, is what you're saying.
Well, I could answer them, but it might just be like, go give someone a hug, yay.
Okay, you know what? Fair enough. You know what? I'm curious. I've never been to Cleveland. My only impression of Cleveland comes from, do you remember the Drew Carey show and how the
of
Drew
course.
Carey show, remember like this theme song was, I think it was Cleveland Rocks, and then it ended with him going, Ohio. Now, that's why literally my only impression of the city of Cleveland. So what's it like?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's, you know, with COVID, there's a few masks. It's
sure.
more masks than when I was in Las Vegas, where Vegas was just like,
I'm not shocked.
Not shocked. And then a week after I get back, it's like Vegas has the highest Delta variant. I'm like, yeah, probably.
Oh,
but here, so it's, people laugh and say like, oh, Cleveland, what's in Cleveland? It is an underrated city for things to do. You can walk everywhere. Like, unlike, you know, let's say the Buffalo Bills, right? Great fan base, et cetera. But around the stadium, there's nothing to do. It's there and you go home. Cleveland, it's the downtown. You can go bars, restaurants, fancy restaurants. They got music scene. They got street entertainment. At the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's here. Everything. Like, it is a happening place. And I'll say this, you will not go thirsty in Cleveland. That's for sure.
Well, as the you're hearing the song here right now, I'll say this, Andy. If your career in fantasy sports or as a sports broadcaster doesn't work out, you can work for Tourism Cleveland. You work for like, the Ohio Travel Board. I'm sure they'll love that.
I think so. And the hotels, like I said, the Drury Plaza here. So anyone who's coming to Cleveland, it's amazing. They're great people. And it's the converted Board of Education building. So show it's like you're. It has like all these like marble walls. So it's a very unique like custom type hotel, so it's very cool. And you know, we have the Reuben, I posted on social media at AndyMC81, the Reuben sandwich the size of my head from Carl's Bar,
right?
On
saw
West
that
third, and so good. You would have a feast here, man.
Okay, so before we get to, and you heard that Cleveland Rocks Andy is in Cleveland joining us here on the Fantasy Show. I gotta ask, so you posted that picture of the Reuben, right? And you posted a couple other pictures of, I think, the like First Energy Stadium and the shop and so on. You also posted a picture with a couple other people, like three other people, so four people overall in this picture, Am I right in assuming that one of those people is your dad?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, one's my dad and one is, the other two are friends we met here just in a Cleveland bar about 10 years ago, Kelly and Donnie, and they meet up with us every year, and they're like they're like my aunt and uncle now. Like, it's amazing. So it's just, everybody's so friendly, and yeah, we meet up with them every year, and we got someone who's been on the Fan 590 a few times, Matt Florjancic, who covers right. Cleveland sports. He's been, met him down here and all that. So it truly is. It feels like a second home coming to Cleveland. So if any of the listeners want to come down or are planning, hit me up at AndyMCD1, and I'll make sure you're taken care of.
So what you're saying is that Mr. McNamara, the McNamara the Elder, is the reason we have to listen to you talk about the Browns all the time.
Yes, correct. Yep. He is. He was second generation. So he got Jim Brown. My grandfather got Paul Brown, the original, because the Browns' 75th anniversary, so 1946. And I've had kind of all the crap after that. So
you kind of got the short end, Andy. You get Brandon Whedon. You get Brandon Whedon and
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, Manziel. Yeah.
But now I got Baker. Now I got Baker, and life is good. And they're going to beat the Bears today. And let's go.
I see their Browns are also playing, I guess they're wearing, I should say, their 75th anniversary outfits today, uniforms today, I guess, in this matchup against the Bears. Because, of course, it's a historic matchup between two pretty old franchises, despite the fact that Cleveland has moved around a couple times, but still. Let's get to some of our early actives and inactives. This is all courtesy of Adam Schefter, ESPN. Players out Sunday include Andy Dalton, Tua Tagovailoa, Deontay Johnson, Russell Gage. Let's see here. Rashad Penny, Tevin Coleman, Antonio Brown, and Jamichael Hasty. And, Hasty and Kevin Coleman and Rashad Penny, probably not super fantasy relevant, but definitely some big ones in there for your fantasy pleasure here. And, of course, players expected to play on Sunday include Ben Roethlisberger, Derek Carr, Odell Beckham Jr., Noah Fant, Tim Patrick, Trey Sermon, and of course, Saints cornerback Marshawn Lattimore. So I guess it's up to you, Andy, and up to all the listeners to determine who Lattimore will be covering. Because usually, Lattimore is the Saints' top cover corner. He usually shadows whoever the top wideout is on the opposing team. Now, the Saints are playing the Patriots in Foxborough this weekend. And you know what? It's anyone's guess who Mac Jones' favorite target is at this point. Because honestly, it could be any one of those guys.
No, you're totally right. And that's an interesting point you bring up, Show, with Lattimore, because you could argue the top targets are the tight ends. Well, are you putting Lattimore shadowing Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry? Or do you have him with Jacoby Myers? Like, where Nelson Agholor? Like, I wonder if they have him move around because there isn't that true number one guy. There's not that, like, okay, well, he's getting Devontae Adams. We know he's getting 12 targets. You know, they kind of spread it around. So maybe that's to the Patriots' advantage.
Yeah, I suspect if he had to follow one guy, I suspect it will be Nelson Agholor, if only because Agholor is like the deep guy, like the deep target, right? Deep shot guy. So I would expect maybe him. But yeah, I mean, you're probably right in that he'll be moving around the field pretty much all game. And here's some other ones coming out basically in the last hour or a couple hours. Again, from Adam Schefter from ESPN, Rams running back Darrell Henderson, questionable with a rib injury, is not expected to play versus the Buccaneers. One source saying about Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, who is questionable also with a rib injury. The source saying, quote, pretty confident he will play, but not 100% he will, end quote. So we'll have to monitor the DeAndre Hopkins situation as we go on. And it seems pretty likely that you'll have to wait. I think that game's at 1:00 Eastern. So one of the early games, you'll probably have to wait if you're a starting Hopkins like I am in one league. You're going to have to wait until the active inactives list come out, probably closer to lunchtime, an hour before kickoff in most cases. I see another one here. As the week progressed, there was a less confident tone that Vikings running back Dalvin Cook would play Sunday versus Seattle due to his sprained ankle. Cook did not practice all week. It's early in the season, and going into pregame warmups, it was considered quote-unquote unlikely he plays. And Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins, listed as doubtful for Sunday versus the Steelers with a shoulder injury, is not expected to play. So I would assume that not only bumps up the stock of Jamar Chase, who has completely allayed all concerns that we had about, catching the ball and the stripes and all that stuff, Andy, but also I would imagine that boosts the stock of Tyler Boyd as well, because Boyd works out of the slot, and especially if you're in like in a half or a full PPR league, I mean, you're probably firing up. I know it's not a plus matchup because the Steelers' defense is very good, but if you are in a pinch, I feel like you could do a lot worse, especially with Higgins out, than Tyler Boyd, because he's going to see a lot of target share today.
No, I think you're right. And also, when you look at Minnesota, I have a hunch, show that we're going to be getting a lot of Alexander Mattison questions today.
Yes.
Right? I think. Now, my thinking on that specifically is, if Cook is limited, there's Mattison, there's always a risk of in-game injury. I'd still, even if Mattison plays only as a flex, and I'm more to think that maybe this has to open up the Vikings passing game more, and maybe spread the ball around more. Maybe better news for Justin Jefferson. How about KJ Osborne, who through two games has looked real good. So maybe there's more, maybe Kirk Cousins takes to the air a little bit more with Dalvin Cook. And it's not so much about, do I play Alexander Mattison, but do I play KJ Osborne?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the KJ Osborne stuff is really, he really burst onto that, but burst onto the scene like in a huge way, right? But either way, I do think it does make Kirk Cousins himself a more attractive play, because you would imagine they're going to throw the ball more, and he has been, you know, relatively speaking, pretty good so far this season. So I think you should be at least somewhat less afraid, I would say, of starting Kirk Cousins in your QB slot, depending whether or not if you're in a super flex league. I think you're probably starting Kirk Cousins anyways, but if you're in a one QB league, unless you have Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or someone else, you know, one of the top three or top four, Kyler Murray, top three, top four options in any given week, I think you have to at least consider Kirk Cousins against the Seattle Seahawks. Funny enough, the Blue Jays are in Minnesota today. They're finishing up their four-game series against the Twins. And as I understand, Target Field is like right across the street from US Bank Stadium where the Vikings play. So I wonder if Arash Madani, our own Arash Madani, will be getting his way over to see the Vikings play. Because as much as you are a Browns fan, Arash is a Vikings fan. So here's hoping he gets to watch let's say the second half of Seattle, Minnesota. And of course, before we get started on our start sits, Andy, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Panthers Texans Thursday nighter, because it was a pretty good game, all things considered, despite the fact that the Panthers did win by multiple possessions. I think we all kind of figured that would happen, right? I mean, the Panthers defense has been pretty underrated, I would say, going into this season, right? And then you got the Texans themselves, who have shown more fight than honestly I ever thought they would, given all the dysfunction that goes on with the Houston Texans. Honest to goodness, they are a much better team than I ever gave them credit for. And despite the 24-9 final in favor of Carolina on Thursday, we can talk about the Texans in a sec, but the biggest news out of this game is that Christian McCaffrey suffered what Matt Rhule is calling not too severe a hamstring injury. Now, I mean, if you're using the word severe in any way, shape, or form, I would imagine that's still pretty bad, and it's not a good sign that he was ruled out essentially immediately. Like, he went into that blue medical tent on Thursday night, and he was ruled out within, like, seconds, I feel like, right? So if that happens, that's not, especially this early in the season, that cannot be good. But at the same time, they're saying he's only going to miss a couple of weeks. But you know what? Based on what happened last year, I'll believe that when I see it.
Well, yeah, and you're right. To come out of the tent that quickly, I don't know how you diagnose a hamstring. Like, okay, for example, Dak Prescott's injury last year, you didn't have to be a physician to notice, like, all right, you are not playing football for quite a while with that leg turned sideways. But to diagnose a hamstring that quick, that has to be serious. But they're saying they don't expect him to be on the IR, which means he should be in that 3-week type of window. That can, of course, change. But it becomes, like we talked about in the offseason, when you have these high-value running backs that you're taking first, second, third overall, you better try to have their handcuffs. So I hope all those Christian McCaffrey owners have got themselves some Chuba Hubbard. And if you got him, if you got Hubbard, then, boy, that makes it pretty valuable to be able to dice him off to and try to trade him to a McCaffrey owner.
Oh, yeah, Andy. Whenever I hear Hubbard, you know, I hear this song. This is your look for listeners. This is Andy's favorite song. This is Andy's favorite song in the entire world. And you know what? Chuba Hubbard. This is what I think of. I don't know. I can't explain it, but this is what I think of when I hear Chuba Hubbard. So
why do you have to let me hate Chuba Hubbard now, show?
Canada's own Chuba Hubbard.
Why do you? I hate that Chumbawamba song as much as I hate the Ravens and the Steelers. That's my disdain.
Oh, my goodness. That's so
Chumbawamba
good.
Chumbawamba Hubbard, whatever.
Oh, so good. All right. Oh, boy, that's so good. All right, well, Chuba Hubbard is definitely going to be. Is he going to be a sneak peek? Is he going to be on your waiver wire pickup article on Sportsnet.ca this week?
You know what, Joe? I think. Well, I almost say that's too on the nose, but I might just have to put him in there because it is the most obvious. You know, like you, it's not like going to be a hey, guess what? Here's a sneak peek for you, Chuba Hubbard. Yeah, you're getting Chuba Hubbard, but we got to talk about what that means from the standpoint of, all right, are they going to be just using Chuba? Are they bringing somebody else up? Like, what's the look of the Carolina Panthers? Because last year, they went pretty much with Mike Davis, who for a few weeks before he ran out of steam, was a very good fantasy option, right?
Yeah.
But now you have Royce Freeman sitting around there. Okay, like, are you going to go committee? Chuba's a rookie, big body guy. That's what we're going to have to see going forward, but at the very least, Hubbard should be getting the first look. And, you know, it's the Panthers right now, how they respond to this, because Sam Darnold, say what you want, Joe, that dude looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have said this multiple times over the last, like, year plus, essentially, right? Dating back to last season of the fantasy show, where we you and I both said, if that guy ever got let out of the prison, if he ever made his escape from New York, to borrow your movie reference from a couple weeks ago, right? Like if he ever had gotten out of purgatory that is playing for the Jets, he probably would be pretty good, right? Like, remember I said to you once, like once upon a time, wouldn't it be cool? Well, maybe not for you, but wouldn't it be cool to see Sam Darnold like take over as the heir apparent to someone like Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, or like for a franchise that is simply better run than the Jets? And it turns out that means literally every other franchise in the NFL apart from the New York Jets, because he looked terrific. No interceptions, no touchdown passes, but he did have two rushing touchdowns, which definitely buoyed his value against the Texans. He went 23-34, 304 passing yards and two rushing touchdowns. And of course, you know what this means. When Christian McCaffrey went out with injury, and Andy, what ended up happening? Certainly, Chuba Hubbard got some burn as well. But against the Texans, who do have a pretty, like, relatively speaking, stout rush defense, Sam Darnold just started slinging the ball at every possible opportunity in the direction of DJ Moore. Like, like next week in week four, whatever the prop is for the, like, for receptions by DJ Moore, I don't know who they're playing off the top of my head, but whoever the Panthers are playing next week, whatever the prop ends up being for over under for receptions by Moore, whatever it is, smash the over. No Christian McCaffrey, whatever it is, you're taking that over, because he had 8 receptions for 126 yards, and he had double the catches of the next closest guy, who was Terrace Marshall. And of course, Robbie Anderson finished the day with 1 catch for 8 yards. So, I mean, like, you know, DJ Moore is clearly Sam Darnold's favorite target through 3 weeks in Carolina.
Maybe, like, for I'm concerned, because on one of my fantasy teams, I have Robbie Anderson.
Right.
But also sort of confused, because maybe, show, like, we all thought maybe, oh, they have chemistry from the Jets. But remember back, the Jets had chemistry with nothing.
Yeah.
They had nothing.
Yeah.
There's no chemistry. So maybe he's getting, like, flashbacks of, like, Adam Gase's wonky big googly eyes going on. And he's like, ah, Robbie Anderson, no. And he's, like, freaking out. Like, ah, wakes up in sweats. I don't want to throw it to Robbie. That's bad memories. That's bad memories. Like, maybe, because you're right, DJ Moore, I really like Terrace Marshall coming out of the draft. And we'll have to see, maybe. And I believe Robbie Anderson is in a contract year, I think. This is, you got to be a little concerned about usage. And yeah, DJ Moore's the guy. And don't look now, Show, but Sam Darnold, look at his 3 week fantasy points: 19.06, 19.9, 25.26. You're going in to play Dallas, which is pretty much a guaranteed shootout next week. Philly after that, same type of thing. Minnesota's tougher on defense, but then you get the Giants and Atlanta going into week 8.
Ooh.
So, Show, I don't think it's crazy to say, when we see the conclusion of week 8, that Sam Darnold might be a top 5 fantasy quarterback. I don't even think that's a stretch right now.
Yeah, look, neither you nor I had him in our top 12. And look, he could be that guy who's going to surprise and break into the top 12 this year. But yeah, if he keeps this up, he is going to be one valuable player. Sam Darnold, of course, again, with the 25-plus point fantasy effort against the Texans. Yeah, he was just phenomenal. And again, before we hit the break here, Brandon Cooks on the other side of things for the Texans. I don't want to go out of my way to say he's QB proof just quite yet, but 9 catches for 112 yards. I mean, he has looked absolutely ridiculous, and I mean, no injuries yet. Certainly, you have to be wary of that when it comes to him. He's had some issues with concussions in the past, but hey, as long as Brandon Cooks can stay healthy, he is going to be one of the more, like, he could legitimately, and I don't want to get too hyperbolic here, but if he continues this with guys like Davis Mills as your quarterback, and I'm not like trying to crap on Davis Mills, but it's not like this is Tom Brady throwing him the ball here, right? So who has actually thrown the ball to Brandon Cooks in the past? So with that being the case, I just, like, if Brandon Cooks can stay healthy, he has true potential to be like a true league winner, considering where he was probably drafted this year.
Well, so I think it is safe to say that he is QB proof. Davis Mills, again, nothing personal against the guy. I don't think he's very good. You know, I'll keep it nice here. I'm in a good mood in Cleveland. I'll keep it nice. I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think he should have stayed an extra year in college at Stanford. He was nowhere near ready. But, you know, you take the chance to go back, or you take some guaranteed money, third-round pick. So I can understand it. I don't think he's a good quarterback. He threw for 168 yards, did protect the football. You know, but overall, he's a statue guy, and he's not moving around. But he forces the ball to Brandon Cooks, and that's target share. And like we've said, show literally the only, and I mean that in the truest sense, the only fantasy relevant player on the entire Houston Texans team is Brandon Cooks. Nobody else to me is even a flex. Yeah. Running back, no. Tight ends, no. Other wide receivers, no. It's only Brandon Cooks, and that's all for the entire team.
Yeah, like if Anthony Miller caught the lone touchdown pass from Davis Mills, if you're starting Anthony Miller, you are essentially throwing a dart, a fantasy dart at the dartboard. That's what you're doing, right? And the only guy who is going to be consistent to any degree is going to be Brandon Cooks. And I'm sure even he will have some days where other teams, I'm sure, will eventually figure out just triple cover Brandon Cooks, and and they'll probably beat the Houston Texans more often than not. But that's kind of the recap for the Thursday night of that was the 24-9 win for the Panthers over the Texans. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's. Show and Andy, we're here until 10 a.m. Eastern. After the break, we're going to get into all of your starts, sits for week 3. The Fantasy Show is delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet radio network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
She sneaks around the world from Kiev to Carolina. She's a sticky fingered filcher from Berlin down to Belize. She'll take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me, where in the world is
Andy McNamara?
Steal their soul.
All right, welcome back to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet radio network. Show Ali and the globetrotting Andy McNamara, as he is down in Cleveland, Ohio, to take watch his beloved Browns take on the Chicago Bears. Yeah, Andy, you're as popular, as hard to find these days, as Carmen Sandiego is.
What a great throwback! Gosh, that was a fun show back in the day. I think it was a cartoon and the game show, right? There was like a couple things.
It was a cartoon. I think there was eventually a live action show, and it was a computer game. It was I think that's how I played it. Right. It was one of those computer games on floppy disks, if people remember those.
Yeah. It was like a school one, like they used it for geography or something.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, I think I learned at least as much geography-wise from Carmen Sandiego and like the magic school bus than I did from actual school. But there you go. Andy down in Cleveland. And you know what, Andy? Why don't we get into our start and sits, and why don't we start with Bears at Browns. In honor of you taking your trip down to the state of Ohio, we'll start with Bears at Browns. Now, we actually have a lot of questions on the text line. And again, you can text us at 590-590 in the next hour. So about 30 minutes from now, we'll start to answer as many questions as we can on the air. And of course, if we don't get to your question on the air. We will reply after the show is over on the text line itself. So everyone will get their question answered. Don't worry. But I do see a lot of questions, Andy, about Justin Fields. Are you starting Justin Fields? Because Andy Dalton is out. This is Justin Fields' first career start. Are you starting Justin Fields in First Energy Stadium today?
I would not. And I say that because big picture, I really like Justin Fields. We've talked about it on the show. I think his arm talent is incredible. He's a heck of an athlete. But he still has to learn NFL offenses or defenses in a big way. Like, show it was so simple in college. They would hold up like a picture of like a apple or something. And it's like, oh, that means I throw to this guy. Like NFL defenses, it's a lot different when a guy comes in and spot starts and can run around for when you're preparing. Now, for the Browns, this all comes down to, can you stop Justin Fields from running and force him to throw the football? Last week, before Tyrod Taylor went down, Tyrod Taylor was running around. He walked into the end zone. So the Browns defense, I hope, has learned from that experience, made whatever tweaks or adjustments they need to. Because if you can pin and contain Justin Fields and make him throw the football at this stage in his career, I think you're going to be successful and win the ball game. But if you let him get out and start, you know, running all around on you, that's when things could get a bit dicey. So I would say for today, I'm not starting Justin Fields.
Yeah, I think it would depend on who your other quarterback is. Like, if you're in a one QB league, I would at least consider it. But I think if you can avoid it, yeah, I think, you know, in an NFL debut, I don't know. Like, certainly rookies have had, you know, historically have had success in their first ever career game. But on the road, especially, like, if this game was in Chicago, I might give a different answer, but it's not, right? So I think because it's in Cleveland, that's kind of what I'm a little concerned about. On the other side of the Chicago offense, David Montgomery, Allen Robinson, probably the only two guys who are startable outside of potentially Justin Fields. And even Montgomery and Robinson at this point, I would say, you know, Montgomery kind of came back down to earth in week two after a stellar week one. And Allen Robinson, unfortunately, has not been great with Andy Dalton under center. So you would hope that with the switch to Justin Fields, Robinson gets a little bit of a boost. But even so, both guys, I would say, are like RB2, WR2s this week for me.
But for sure, I don't think you want anybody leading your fantasy team there. I'll say this as well, show. Instead of Justin Fields, like, if you look on waiver wires for widely available guys, players, quarterbacks I would rather have.
Okay.
Daniel Jones is rostered in just 44% of Yahoo League. Say what you want about him. Fantasy-wise, the dude had just shy of 22 points and just under 30 fantasy points. And he's going to get up against Atlanta, which is a juicy matchup. And you have Derek Carr, who, lo and behold, Derek Carr is looking like a franchise quarterback, and he's averaging just shy of 25 fantasy points in his first 2 weeks. Tougher defense against Miami, but I would rather play those two guys over Justin Fields in his debut against this Browns defense. Like, those are two viable options that are available in 50% or less of fantasy leagues. So,
yeah, when we get to the Giants start sits in a little bit, Falcons-Giants, here's a spoiler. Start basically every Giant you can. Start all the Giants. That's my solution here. And you know what? You could probably start most of the Falcons as well. This is going to be These are two bad teams. Those are two bad teams that will likely score a lot of points, because there's not a lot of competency on the defensive side of the ball for either team. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. To wrap up here on Bears-Browns, the Browns side of things, I again, like, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum, and I feel like this is going to be a pretty familiar refrain throughout the rest of the year. But Baker Mayfield, I think in a real-life perspective, phenomenal. I think he is easily going to be, you know, he's playing for a new contract. He wants the big deal. He's going to get it, obviously. It's just really a question of what the number is at this point. From a fantasy perspective, I think you can probably find, like, you just mentioned Daniel Jones and Derek Carr. Fantasy-wise, I would take Daniel Jones and Derek Carr over Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, me too. For real life, Baker all day. For fantasy, no. Like, because it is a run-first offense. Yeah. Baker is, by the way, folks, the most accurate quarterback in all of football. So eat that.
There we go.
World, eat it. How you like it? Most accurate completion percentage in the NFL today. But you're right. For fantasy, the two options we just mentioned are better fantasy-wise. Chubb and Hunt, duh. You can start both. Chubb is an RB1, and Kareem Hunt has RB2 upside with a flex. He's like the ultimate handcuff that with utility. So you can use him. Wide receiver side, though, show.
Boy,
everybody else outside of Chubb and Hunt, I kind of want to stay away from. Odell Beckham Jr. should play, but he's going to be a game-time decision. Landry's out. it just seems like this is a run heavy or quick passes to the running back type of day against a Bears defense that has Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack who are rushing at you. So I don't see there being a lot of, five-step drop. Baker's going to want to get the ball out of his hand quick.
Yeah, the front seven for the Chicago Bears is no joke. So I think it's for that reason. I agree with you on the pass catchers. It's for that reason I think I've kind of slightly downgraded Nick Chubb to still an RB1, but maybe a back-end RB1 this week specifically. And, flex for Kareem Hunt. But if you can start someone else over Kareem Hunt, even though they probably will rush the ball 30 to 40 times today, I do think that it was weird because last week Kareem Hunt got way more carries than – not way more, but he outpaced – Nick Chubb last week, and even though he did, Nick Chubb still out-carried or out-rushed, I should say, Kareem Hunt by a significant margin. So if that being the case, we know Nick Chubb is a better back than Kareem Hunt, but at the same time, I think I would rather start Chubb and someone else over Chubb and Hunt if you can absolutely help it. But not a whole ton of fantasy gold here in Bears Browns. A little bit more in Washington at Bills, WFT at Buffalo, and we'll start with Washington, Andy, and Taylor Heinicke. You know what? He since he came in relief of the injured Ryan Fitzpatrick in week one, he has played very well. Don't get me wrong. He has played very, very well. But again, you mentioned a couple of options, Carr and Jones, as guys you would probably take over many guys this week. And I would include Taylor Heinicke in that one because you know what? He is, I think for the first time in his career, he might be playing on the road because, of course, he played at home against the Buccaneers in the playoffs last year. And I think both games have been in Washington, I think, to start the season this year. And now he's playing on the road in possibly the most, if not one of the most, at the very least, hostile at road environments in the entire NFL down in Buffalo. Yeah, I don't want anything to do with Taylor Heinicke, which basically means I'm also downgrading Antonio Gibson, unfortunately. I mean, he was a favorite of ours in the preseason. I'm downgrading Antonio Gibson to maybe a low-end RB2, maybe even an RB3, and Terry McLaurin and Logan Thomas also WR2s, tight end twos, just because of the sheer chaos that I expect Buffalo to unleash upon a poor Taylor Heinicke today.
You know what that means, Show? It's J.D. McKissick season. Light him up. I want J.D. McKissick because you have to think of it again. Buffalo's defense can be aggressive. Heinicke, journeyman guy, and what he's been able to do, phenomenal. But he's a journeyman, 28 years old. Is this the rise? Are we going to see a meteoric rise for Taylor Heinicke as a legit long-term NFL starter? Maybe. That'd be a fun story. But we're not there yet. So I'm with you. I think for Terry McLaurin, again, are you going to be able to get him the ball enough? Now, maybe you can line him up in the slot and all that, but I think the most fantasy value today comes from J.D. McKissick. So if you guys are looking for a flex or you're in a pinch for an RB2, J.D. McKissick, 39% is all that he's rostered in Yahoo format. So I think that might be a nice play over, like you said, where Buffalo's going to be gearing in on Gibson and McLaurin and probably Logan Thomas.
And on the Bill side of things, I mean, I don't know we need to talk too much about Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs. It doesn't really matter what the matchup is for either of those guys. Barring injury, you're starting them literally every single week. So we don't really have to talk about Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs. But when it comes to the other guys on this Bills offense, I mean, are you daring to touch the Devin Singletary, Zach Moss situation here?
No. I don't want to touch it all year. I don't want to touch it. These running backs are just kind of extra pieces where I think for Buffalo, they're like, oh yeah, we have to have people run the ball sometimes. That's not Josh Allen. So yeah, we'll just kind of mix and match, right? I can't say with confidence that any of them are going to be any sort of solution week in or week out. I just don't think that you can do it or go there. And you had Matt Breda floating around too. He did nothing last week. He had 0.4 fantasy points in week one, Show. So, you're not, it's just too much of a rotation, too much of a when you're at the goal line, who's getting the ball. It's probably Josh Allen first, and then you sort of go down the list if you want to run it. There's outside of those two, you can't really count on anybody for your fantasy team with any sort of confidence. You just can't do it.
Yeah, when it comes to Devin Singletary specifically, I do think he had a good fantasy line last week, but again, you have to remember that that was the game Tua went out with injury, and the game script heavily, heavily, heavily favored Buffalo basically from the first quarter onwards. So they were leaning, like, in order to protect Josh Allen and other guys, they let him throw the ball a little bit, and I think he rushed in a touchdown at the very end, much to my chagrin as I was facing Josh Allen in another league, and I thought, oh, this is going pretty well. Then he ran in, scampered in for a rushing touchdown at the very end of the game to kind of ruin it for everyone. Thanks a lot, Josh. But in the end, Devin Singletary, if game script goes more towards week one, when it's more a much more close game, he still had 11 carries for 72 yards in week one. So, but again, like, if that is probably what is more in line of to be expected, especially against a tough Washington front seven. Let's do one more here, Andy, before we hit the break. Ravens Lions. And you know what? I see a text here from Tommy and Ajax, and Tommy had texted us, I want to say after week one. Tommy, it could be misremembering, so you can feel free to text in again to correct me if I'm wrong. But Tommy had texted in at some point this season to say about Marquise Brown. See, that he's a Marquise Brown truther, Andy. He wants to see more about Marquise Brown. And you know what? I was on board with you, I think, for most of the season thus far, basically saying, well, you know what? Brown is, he's a little streaky, he's boom or bust. But you know what? At this point, Marquise Brown has become, I know he's probably, like, they're probably better options overall, but I think I basically have no choice but to upgrade him and nobody else. I'm not doing it for Sammy Watkins, but I have no choice but to upgrade him to at least a WR2 based on what he has done so far this year.
Yeah, I think that's fair based on usage. Now, he has had an ankle issue this week. He did return to practice on Friday, so that's something you're going to want to track going into the game. He's got that dreaded red Q beside his name, show, which is just like, you see that, like, oh, is he, you know, you'd almost rather, are you in or are you out? Because then we don't know, especially with something like an ankle, what's Marquise Brown's game based off of? Speed. So is that ankle going to be fine? Is it going to be 100%? Is something going to happen in game? You're facing the Lions, who are not very good, so I'd be one to chance it if he's given the green light, but just track that going up until 1 p.m. kickoff today between Ravens, Lions. Because if he's healthy, then yes, I think you can start him pretty confidently against a Lions team that just isn't very good right now.
Yeah, that Lions defense is not very good whatsoever. So you got Marquise Brown. I don't think much like Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, I don't think we really need to talk too much about Lamar Jackson or Mark Andrews. Jackson had some non-COVID illness this week, and it looks like he will play. So if he plays, you're starting him, and that's that, really, right, at this point. And the other thing, too, Tyson Williams, I know you're not high on the guy, Andy, but if there was ever a week to start Tyson Williams, I think it's this week, if only because the Lions defense is, as far as I can tell, the dead last in the NFL against the rush. They give up the most fantasy points to running backs. So, like, with a defensive performance like this, you would expect, after we saw Aaron Jones just do filthy things to the Lions defense last week on Monday? Was it Monday Night Football? I think.
Touchdown, baby.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And again, Tyson Williams is not Aaron Jones by any means, but I do think that, you know, Williams is averaging 6.5 yards a carry, which is absolutely astonishing. We know this Ravens team likes to run the ball, even with Lamar Jackson probably going to get his fair share of carries on the ground as well. I actually do think, for once, against such an abysmal run defense, this might be the time to start both guys if you have them.
Here's my only concern, show, is that, all right, Tyson Williams, the numbers you listed off, impressive. Why then do they keep bringing up these veterans? Latavius Murray, Devonta Freeman. I know you need, you know, depth in case something happens injury-wise, but you have two seasoned backs who have performed in different capacities. So is Tyson Williams going to get the first look after Lamar Jackson? That makes me nervous, show, because you're right, the numbers are there, but do they just spread it out amongst the guys? And do you let Lamar Jackson just call his own number like he usually does? That's your top running back. So I personally wouldn't want Tyson Williams as anything more than a flex, and I'd be biting my nails the whole game because I don't know what Latavius Murray and Devonta Freeman are going to be worked in after Lamar Jackson. And you have to look again, show, at the goal line, just like in Buffalo. Who's getting the call?
Yeah, it's Lamar Jackson. Yeah, yeah.
With Pittsburgh, you know it's Najee Harris. Big Ben's not running. In Baltimore, it's Lamar Jackson. So that's where I get a little concerned.
You know, and that's fair. I do think that at best, Tyson Williams is like a flex play. But the like, if the ceiling, like we, you and I talk about floor and ceiling a lot. If the ceiling, or pardon me, if the floor is relatively low because of the presence of Lamar Jackson, the ceiling is, I think, for at least for this week, is incredibly high for him because there's a real shot. I'm not saying he does an Aaron Jones impersonation here, but there is a real shot that he has double digit fantasy points. And if you put him into your flex and you get double digit points or anything close to double digit points, you're happy with that, right? Because that is a more than a reasonable outcome for your flex here. But again, you're listening to the Fantasy Show. Show and Andy here, delivered by Domino's Pizza. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we will resume our week 3 start sits. And again, text us at 590-590. At the top of the hour, we will get to all, or at least as many as we can, of your questions on the People's Text Line. But again, you're listening to the Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show and Andy are here until 10 a.m. Eastern as we're getting you set for week 3 in the NFL. We're going through all the start sits. Andy is joining us from sunny Cleveland, Ohio. Actually, I haven't looked at the weather, Andy. I assume it's sunny in Cleveland today. I hope for your sake it is. Okay, good.
It's always sunny, baby.
You're right. It's a very positive outlook by you, Andy. I appreciate it. I did realize that we took the break. I took the break a little too soon because we did do the Ravens preview, but we didn't finish doing the Lions preview. Real quick, before we get to, I believe the next one here is Colts-Titans. We'll do that in a sec. Before we do Colts-Titans, Lions preview, are you starting Jared? I mean, we're going to start DeAndre Swift, probably an RB2. He is carrying that, carrying around that groin injury, right? So, but I think all things considered, especially in half or full PPR, you're probably starting DeAndre Swift. And I think no matter what, I think people are starting TJ Hockenson, right? Like much like Darren Waller. He might not be in the Kelsey Waller conversation, but if he isn't, he's like right underneath those guys, right? And Hockenson, stud, he's getting started anyways. But the question I have for you is Jared Goff. Like I actually think that, especially with a number of defenders out, I believe with COVID issues for the Baltimore Ravens this week, we'll have to see if that actives and actives list changes at all before kickoff, an hour before kickoff. But at the same time, if it doesn't, I actually think it does make Jared Goff, based on what he's done so far, like a slightly more attractive play than he would have been like, you know, a couple days ago.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Don't look now. Jared Goff has been pretty good fantasy-wise, right? Like, he's been more than serviceable, actually, Show. Like, you look at the points, just shy of 30 in that San Francisco shootout, just under 20 in Green Bay, and San Francisco's defense is no slouch. So against Baltimore, Jared Goff in the dink-and-dunk format, I don't love it, but let's say I would take him again over Justin Fields this afternoon. I think that's a spot, but you're right. T.J. Hockenson, the guy. The wide receiver group is still sort of being, I feel, sorted out. Like, it really comes down to Swift and Hockenson. Again, like you said, track Swift, because if he is limited, Jamal Williams, who had a great week one, came back down to earth week two, but he had a great week one. That might be a sneaky little flex play to get in there as well.
Yeah, I do like that one. I definitely like that one. We'll have to, again, monitor the Ravens actives inactives for the rest of the morning, because I think that might influence your decision to play any Lions pass catchers. But maybe, I mean, I think if you're playing any Lions pass catchers, you're probably in a pretty deep league anyways, right? Like you're probably not in a 10-team league or a 12-team league, right? Like you're probably in, if you're starting like Quintez Cephas or any of those guys or whoever, you're probably in like a 14 or plus person league, I would imagine. But yeah, there you go. That wraps up our Ravens Lions preview. Colts Titans is next. And Colts, I mean, kind of like the Lions, you know, I think that the wide receiver room is still getting sorted out. Zach Pascal is an intriguing one to me because, you know, I think based on what, you know, Carson Wentz clearly has a connection with the guy. So, and Carson Wentz, as far as I'm aware, is playing today. He has somehow sprained both his ankles. I think he had a regular sprain on one ankle and a high ankle sprain on the other ankle. I can't even imagine what that must feel like, much less getting ready to play an NFL game as a quarterback. But I think it's safe to say you're not starting Carson Wentz this week. unless you can absolutely help it. You're probably going to just start Jonathan Taylor anyways, based on where you drafted him, unfortunately. And I know he's been less productive than you would have hoped, but again, he's probably a lower-end RB1. And then you got all the pass catchers. And really, I mean, it's at this point, it's really just Michael Pittman and Zach Pascal, and neither of those guys for me, Andy, are anything more than a WR3 or a flex play at best.
Gotta be. Yeah, like, how do you injure both?
How do you do that?
Ankles? Like, I just feel like Carson Wentz is walking around, like, you know, you see people walking across fire, like, on those, like, yeah. beaches, like, ow, 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 ow. Like, that's, I just, if he's in there, how long does he stay in there? Brent Hundley has been elevated, so I wonder if we see some gadget plays. I just kind of want to steer away from most of it from the Colts side. I'm like you said, like Jonathan Taylor, because I could see Hundley getting in. Brent Hundley is not good, folks. Like, you know, he's not good. He's just not. So, but the thing is, the Titans haven't looked great either. The Titans have been weird. Now, Derrick Henry came back, which was great to see.
Yeah.
But outside of Derrick Henry on that side too, show like this Titans team, you know, like let's start waking up, because we had high fantasy expectations for these guys.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like you said, no question that Derrick Henry is a must start every week, and he had a monster game. If you managed to win your matchup and you played Derrick Henry last week, good for you. Honestly, good for you, because he had like almost 40 points, I think, in standard, mm-hmm. I want to say, right? So he was an absolute monster. Yeah, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, the only guys pass-catching-wise you're starting here. And, I mean, A.J. Brown, despite the fact that he was drafted very highly, the Titans have been struggling in the pass game so far, which unfortunately means A.J. gets downgraded to a mid-to-low-tier WR2, I would say, and Julio, even worse, maybe a flex play at best at this point.
Until they prove it otherwise, show.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We got it. Like, Ryan Tannehill's looking like Miami Tannehill. We don't want that. We were drafting Titans players based on the last couple of years, Ryan Tannehill, but he is reverting back to what he looked like before. Now, Julio Jones out-targeted A.J. Brown last week, so he went for 18.8 fantasy points in PPR. But that Indianapolis defense is tough. We know that. And it feels sort of like you're guessing as to where it goes with the fact that Tannehill's not going well. So for me, again, this whole game, show, the only one I'm probably looking at is Derrick Henry. Like, Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor are the only two, I think, must starts. And then you just kind of have to start the other ones because you have to, like you said, with A.J. Brown, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Like, A.J. Brown, I think, is getting started. Like, unless you went like wide receiver in each of your first five rounds, I think you probably won't have an option better, especially, yeah. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you have two wide receiver spots and two running back spots and a flex, AJ Brown is taking up one of those three wide receiver / flex spots, basically. Right. I would imagine, unless like, you have some phenomenal groups elsewhere. But yeah, that's kind of where the Titans stand right now. Chargers, Chiefs, Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, probably all starts, right? I know Justin Herbert been a little, I mean, it, you know, a little disappointing for Justin Herbert, I would say, to start the season. About 15 points each of his two first weeks. But you know what? He has thrown the ball a whole hell of a lot, Andy. Like, I'm high on the Chargers this week. And I mean, you're starting Eckler and Keenan Allen no matter what, I would say. But I'm high on even Mike Williams and Jared Cook this week, because the Chiefs defense has been, I would say, like, either, like, fine to mediocre basically all season long, and they've been kept in games solely through the strength of Patrick Mahomes' cannon of an arm and essentially Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill catching everything he throws. But Justin Herbert has thrown the ball over 40 times in each of his first two games, and I would expect to have any kind of success this week against the Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium. I think Justin Herbert's going to have to throw the ball a hell of a lot as well again. So for that reason, I think the passing volume alone will sustain Keenan Allen. It will sustain Mike Williams, and it will sustain Jared Cook as well. And I think Jared Cook, an underrated option at the tight end spot this week.
Well, and that Chiefs defense can be had, but an interesting stat I thought show for the Kansas City defense is they've given up 7 touchdowns on the ground, only one through the air over the first 2 weeks. So that's a little concerning. And you look at Justin Herbert, 2 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, you know, new offense, sophomore year, you usually see a bit of a dip, you know, reigning rookie of the year. I still have confidence long-term in Herbert, but right now it's like, all right, how much, and And it's almost like I'm with you with the receiver volume. It makes the receivers relevant. But for Herbert himself, I can't I kind of want to stay away from that, even though it looks so juicy with a possible shootout. So I think Austin Eckler's value really gets bumped up because we're seeing that that Kansas City run defense isn't very good right now.
Yeah, the Eckler is used in a fascinating way because he is used certainly between the tackles, and he's not the biggest guy in the world, and he was, I think. For people who are concerned, I think a large part of it was that Eckler was making his way back from injury too, right? Like, he had the hamstring, I think it was, and yeah, he as he has been slowly worked back more than he had been over the first couple of weeks, he is getting more of the target share and more carries as well. So I think, yeah, RB1, Eckler, I still think WR1 for Keenan Allen, maybe a WR, like the lowest end WR2 for Mike Williams. But again, with the way the Kansas City defense has been going, I'm high on all of those guys. And on the Chiefs side, again, a short conversation. You're starting Mahomes. You're starting Tyreek Hill. You're starting Travis Kelce. You're not starting Hardman or Pringle or Robinson. The only real question here is, what do you do with Clyde Edwards-Helaire? And I guess he is an RB2, I would say. But boy, he has been – there's no way about it. No way else, other ways to say it, Andy. He has been disappointing this year.
It has been. And I felt, Joe, that we talked about in the preseason and our team-by-team previews, we kind of saw this coming. We kind of saw it coming where it was Kansas City. I think you said it. You said it best. Kansas City looks to throw the ball, and then they look to throw the ball more. That's the game plan. And, of course, you're paying Patrick Mahomes $500 million, okay? So I understand the process as to why. Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now is just a guy, and there's nothing really more to it. Like, even RB2 might be a stretch, and we know how thin the position group is. He has not gotten past 46 rushing yards this year in two games, Joe. That's for real, right? Like, you could hope. Like, really, it's just hoping he breaks out. But I don't think there's anything pointing to why he will or should. So Edwards-Helaire, to me right now, I'm even taking him out of the RB2 conversation if you can. You might not have a choice, but if you could, I would.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, it's really unfortunate the way things have developed. Maybe things turn around. Maybe they do. And I think Andy Reid offenses have shown in the past that they can support good fantasy production from their running backs. But at the same time, Andy Reid has never had a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, right? So I think that's kind of the give and take there. You know what? Before we hit the break, let's do one last one. Let's do Saints-Patriots, just because I think we can get through this one pretty quickly. Is it safe to say that for the Saints, you are starting literally nobody other than Alvin Kamara, and that for the Patriots, it's basically Damian Harris and maybe James White, depending on being in a PPR league, and that's probably it, I would say.
I think you're right. And Jameis Winston last week came off that 5-touchdown game, and then he went 0 touchdowns and 2 interceptions in the loss to the Panthers, which was super disappointing. So which Jameis Winston shows up will be, I think that'll be a pretty interesting storyline to follow through the week. But you're right. It's Alvin Kamara. The receivers are all over the place. And yeah, this is again, not your juiciest fantasy game to watch. You want to try to go in different areas. I thought Mac Jones has been very efficient in real life football, but you're not touching him at QB for your fantasy team.
No, that's a Baker Mayfield situation. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good real life situation for the Patriots. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do from a real life perspective. But yeah, I'm not touching him in fantasy. Jacoby Myers maybe carries some value as a flex play, right? Depending on if you're in a PPR league, maybe. But that's like that's if you're in a deep, deep league, there are probably better options out there versus than Jacoby Myers at this point. And yeah, Marquez Callaway, until I see him produce, staple him to your bench, because I don't think he just hasn't produced so far. And you know what? I honestly think that one of the, after those three guys, Kamara, White, and Harris, I think the next best play, I guess, from either team is the Patriots defense. If you have the Patriots DST, you should be starting them. That's what I think too, because they're a good play this week.
That's a good point. And for the other, like the tight ends, remember we were talking, is it going to be Jonnu Smith? Is it going to be Hunter Henry? Or is it going to be both and then neither are fantasy relevant? And through 2 weeks, show, it's the both and neither are fantasy relevant. And that's super disappointing, because we talk all the time about how thin that tight end group is. And if you count out both of those guys, you're losing what used to be two starting tight ends for your fantasy team, now relegated to non-starters.
Yeah, so there you go. The fantasy outlook for the Patriots tight ends, no Boston Tea Party for now, but maybe that changes later on in the season. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza. After the break, we'll get to the people's text line, so text us at 590-590 with all of your fantasy football questions. We'll get to those next on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Fantasy Show, Hour 2, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Shaw and Andy here for another hour or so as we're getting you set for every Week 3 start-sit situation across the NFL this Sunday and, of course, Monday, too, one game tomorrow night. We have done a whole bunch of start-sits already, Andy, but now, as is customary on Sunday mornings, we will get to the people's text line, which means you can text us at 590-590, leave your name and location so we can give you a shout-out on the air, and if we don't get to any of your questions right now, we will get to all of them after the show. Well, you know what? This week, I'll get to them after the show. Andy is in Cleveland. He is getting ready to, I'm sure, go tailgate, I would imagine. Like, how far are you from the stadium? You said you're pretty close, right?
Oh, yeah. It's like a 10-minute walk. And the great thing in downtown Cleveland, you're never too far from a tailgate. So we'll pass several along the way, and there's stuff at the hotel and all that. I'm staying at the Drury Plaza doing the show from the boardroom here. Anybody wants to come to Cleveland, this is the spot, man. It is super cool. It's just a centralized location right by Terminal City, the tower, and all that. So it's a ton of fun. So I can't wait to get going here. But you know what, Joe? Hey, we are here to serve. We are service people to help you on your fantasy football team.
Absolutely. Let's do it. I see here a whole score of texts here on the text line. Again, 590-590. Let's go to some of the earlier ones. I see one, Eddie from Angus. Says, good morning, boys. Two questions today. One, would you start Justin Fields over Matthew Stafford? I think we can both say no. You would start Matthew Stafford. Yep. Stafford is
no.
Yeah, Stafford has been phenomenal this year, Andy.
Yes. Good. No. Oh, my. Absolutely not. Against Tampa Bay? That one. First of all, Joe, that match, just from entertainment, give me some popcorn, sit back and watch that one. I think that's going to be a phenomenally entertaining game. Yeah, Matt Stafford's been terrific.
So, yeah, there you go. Matt Stafford over Fields for us. And in half PPR, would you start Odell Beckham Jr. or Leonard Fournette in the flex?
Oh, boy.
That's a tough
you
one.
Know what? Like I think, obviously, the ceiling potential for Odell is higher. But, like, until he is actually fully cleared, this was the same situation from week one where he was supposed to play and didn't. Then we don't know, coming off of ACL, how much is he going to be used. I would try to avoid that situation. I don't think you're getting a great day out of Leonard Fournette either. But at least he's going to be on the field for what you'd think is a decent amount of time.
Yeah, that's where I land too. I think, you know, you'd love to see the Odell Beckham Jr. of yesteryear reappear, but I that guy may not exist anymore, unfortunately.
May not.
Right? So we'll have to, yeah, like he tore the ACL. Maybe he probably is good to go now. He may not actually be 100% until much later in the season, but with Jarvis Landry out, the Browns need more guys back there, right? But yeah, I don't really want anything to do with OBJ. I see one here from Jacob. Yeah, sorry, I wasn't sure if this was the name of a player or not, but yeah, this is from Jacob. And Jacob says, good morning, I need a running back and a flex, please pick two half point PPR. So two of these three guys, okay? So James Robinson, Tony Pollard, Alexander Mattison, and Cook is out. Dalvin Cook, we have to double check the actives and inactives, I think, like 100% when it happens, but it certainly looks like Cook is trending towards not playing. And DeAndre Hopkins, as well. So two of Robinson, Pollard, Madison, Hopkins.
I think you got to go Madison, especially with Cook trending out. Again, track it. I might even play Madison anyway, because if he's that dicey, I can't see Cook getting a full workload. And like, if Hopkins goes, then duh, you're playing him. I would look to see if Hopkins is out, like if Christian Kirk is available, if Rondale Moore is available in your league, like I would try to go in a different direction from the others in that group if I could. Show that would be my advice. Like look to see if somebody else is there, because that targets you. We know how much they're throwing the ball. Like Kyler Murray is throwing the football, DeAndre Hopkins or not. So I would look for those two outside of that other group.
Yeah, I think I like that too. I mean, yeah, if Hopkins starts, you have to play him. Like you absolutely have to play him, no matter what, right? Because I know we like to say, like, you know, start your studs. That's the common refrain in fantasy football. But I mean, Kyler Murray, to Hopkins' detriment, will force feed him that football, right? Like, even though Rondale Moore is actually, I think Rondale Moore is actually a pretty good play this week. I think he's only $5,000 on DraftKings last I checked. And I mean, if you were lucky enough to grab him off the waiver wire, if you can start Rondale Moore this week, even if Hopkins does play, I think you do that anyways, because I mean, they're playing the Jaguars. I mean, the Jaguars stink. Like, come on, right? You're starting as many Cardinals against the Jaguars as you humanly possibly can. But yeah, I think that's a good one there. Jason from Brooklyn, this is a full PPR league. He's lost almost half his starters due to injury and trying to cobble together a lineup. Right now he has Jalen Waddle, Rondale Moore, Miles Gaskin, and Cordell Patterson in. Just picked up Tim Patrick and have Pollard on my bench. Should I put Tim Patrick or Tony Pollard in over any of the four of Jalen Waddle, Rondale Moore, Miles Gaskin, or Cordarrelle Patterson?
I actually, like, the list that he has there, show, isn't, you know, necessarily championship level, but I think it's certainly serviceable. You know, like, it's certainly serviceable. I would say put Tim Patrick in over Gaskin. If there's, you know, you'd obviously have to work that into the flex because they're two different positions.
Yeah.
That's the only one I would really change out personally, because Gaskin has been pretty flat so far, and we don't quite know what to expect out of Jacoby Brissett. So I think you want Tim Patrick in because he has gotten high teens in PPR formats each of the first 2 weeks. So I'd want him in there. But other than that, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I think that's a good one too, I think. Yeah, Miles Gaskin. Like, there's a possibility that Gaskin does get a little more burned today specifically, but the Raiders defense has been a little more stout. I mean, not like, certainly not top championship level or anything like that, don't get me wrong, but they have been limiting running backs a little bit more than you might imagine, and certainly Gaskin could get more rushes just generally speaking this week with no Tua. But I would want to wait and see how this offense develops, because Tua's on the IR. So whatever it looks like now is probably at least closer to what it will look like going forward, right? So that's what I like there. Let's get a couple more quick ones in. No name on this one, but start one in the flex, half PPR, Tyler Boyd or Antonio Gibson.
Ooh, well, we talked about the situation that Washington's in against Buffalo, and that could be a little tricky. Tyler Boyd with no T. Higgins. You're against the Pittsburgh defense, which is really tough. You know what, Joe? I might go Gibson. That Pittsburgh defense is really the strength of that team. So, and T.J. Watt's out, I believe, which is going to hurt a bit. But I think I'd go Gibson in this case.
And we'll wrap up on this one here. Kevin in Newmarket. Good morning, boys. PPR flex, Trey Sermon or Kareem Hunt?
Oh, boy. I know, and I'm not ready to give up on Trey Sermon yet. I'm not. But, Joe, you're... We're just not seeing anything. And he got benched the first week, had just one carry week two. I think you go with Kareem Hunt because you know it's going to be part of the game script that he's going to get touches.
All right, fair enough. And you know what? I think I'm going to go Trey Sermon only because there are not a lot of healthy bodies who can physically run the ball right now for the San Francisco 49ers. So, like, that's pretty much the only reason I'm going with Trey Sermon, because there is nobody else right now. Hasty, I think, is on the IR. He's out for today. You got other guys as well. I think Elijah Mitchell is, I'm not sure if he's out or if he is just not, if he's, you know, the backup right now, but Trey Sermon is going to get the start. I think there is enough. There is enough runs, carries to go around in this kind of offense, and they're playing the Packers as well. And we saw that DeAndre Swift did have a decent day against the Packers defense last week. But I know they're two very different teams with very different approaches. But I'll go Trey Sermon, if only because I think Nick Chubb is going to be the one to get the bulk of the carries against a tough Bears defense. But that'll be it for the text on the air right now, because we do got to get back to the start sits. But we will absolutely answer all of your questions after the show. So keep sending them in, 590-590, name and location. Okay, let's get back to the start sits, Andy. And you know what? We did answer a bunch of these questions already, so I anticipate this one will be quick. Cards, Jags, and Cardinals, Jaguars, you know, the Cards have been an underrated team so far this season. You know, Kyler Murray is a must start. DeAndre Hopkins, if he plays, is a must start. I know you mentioned Christian Kirk, and we were talking about Rondale Moore just now. I think against the Jaguars, there is room for virtually all of those guys to start in different roles on your on your offense. And then you got Chase Edmonds as well. But, I mean, boy, if there was ever a week to start virtually every Cardinal, it's this week.
Everybody eats, not the tight ends. The tight ends are still a no-go. That's the only thing. You're not doing the tight ends at all for the Cardinals. But everybody else, and like we said, DeAndre Hopkins is in that Julio Jones phase from a few years ago where he might be banged up sometimes, but if he's good enough to go, you get him in your lineup.
Yeah, you
just get him in and you keep him there because of volume shift. He's going to throw the ball. Kyler Murray, you're starting everybody, I think, but the tight ends. And for the Jaguars, like, man, this is like Marvin Jones has the most receiving yards. He was my guy. You know, I love me some Marvin Jones.
He was your sleeper.
And it's because, Joe, he's somebody that can be relied on, the guy who can move the chains for PPR. Marvin Jones, I still think, is a smart play. The running backs, how can we go, like, show through two games? Through two games, James Robinson has a total of 72 rushing yards.
Jeez.
That's gross.
Yeah.
That's gross. Right? Like ew. And then, like, Laviska Shenault is still sort of that in-between gadget guy we don't know. So really it's Jones and it's Chark, and you can't really put any higher than a WR3. And if you only have two wide receivers, then they're flex. And I think that's it.
Yeah. I think it's crazy to say that Jones has been the most consistent receiver. I think it was something like he eats up, I think, so through 2 weeks again. I know the season is early, but he eats up 24% of the target share. 24%. The guy basically has a quarter of all passes Trevor Lawrence throws in his entire NFL career. Of the passes Trevor Lawrence has thrown, have gone to Marvin Jones Jr., which is insane. So he has been absolutely phenomenal. Right, DJ Chark again. No question, the guy is talented, but right now he is just not seeing consistent enough targets and points, right? I mean, we now know how high the ceiling is when we saw that last season, and we now know how low the floor is because he had one catch and less than 3 points, I want to say, even in a PPR league last week against Denver, I want to say. So yeah, I think unfortunately not a lot of Jaguars and James Robinson, fantasy darling James Robinson last year, has lost a lot of his value. Jets Broncos is our next one here, and again, not a lot of guys you can really start at all on the Jets. Like, who are you starting, if at all, from the Jets, Andy?
Oh my God. Do I have to pick anybody?
You have to pick one guy. If you have to pick one guy from this Jets offense, who are you starting?
Oh my God. I guess Corey Davis. Like, I guess he had a great week one, a crappy week two. You're going into Denver against a really good defense. The running backs, you can't trust anybody. Again, similar to Trey Sermon, I still believe long-term in Michael Carter, but am I willing to say I'm going to advise putting Michael Carter into? No. There's just not a lot of meat. Like, just from target share, I suppose Corey Davis, but I don't like really anybody else. Show, what about you?
Yeah, I think Corey Davis is pretty much the only guy. And I'm glad we recommended to bench Corey Davis last week, because New England erased that guy from the face of the earth, right? And I mean, those pesky ghosts at MetLife seem to rear their ugly heads again, because they were haunting Zach Wilson and the Jets offense all week. I expect it to be a slightly better go this week, but again, playing on the road at Mile High and elevated altitude against a pretty nasty Broncos defense themselves, if you can avoid starting really any Jets, it's probably better for your blood pressure, I would say.
It was Zach Wilson and his slender shoulders through four interceptions. Four.
And I'm not kidding. He went to start the game, he went 0-for-2 and 2 interceptions. Like, literally, his first 2 passing attempts of that game were interceptions last week.
That is a Jet stat line. Yes, that is a Jet stat line.
Look, if Sam Darnold's success in Carolina has taught me anything, is that it's that in 5 to 6 years, Zach Wilson will be a Pro Bowl QB for the Denver Broncos, Andy.
Yeah, he'll be somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for the Broncos, we just talked about Tim Patrick being, I think, a nice start this week. The running backs are, until they sort of get out of that timeshare with Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, you're kind of stuck in that in-between zone, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. I think you can probably start Courtland Sutton, and you know, he did step up. He turned, I think it was something like 12 targets, 9 receptions, 159 yards, and Teddy Bridgewater missed him on a touchdown, that like a wide open touchdown anyway. So I think you're starting Courtland Sutton, still in WR3, right? But still, I think there is some nice value with Sutton. Like you said, Tim Patrick, a flex, and Noah Fant has been relatively impressive. I picked him for my danger zone pick last week, and I think it was something like he ended up with I think I picked him to be a top 3 tight end in PPR. He ended as the 7th overall tight end. But I mean, still, you're pleased with that if you started Noah Fant, right? Because Fant has been one of the more reliable targets for Teddy Bridgewater through the first couple of weeks of the season. I don't see that changing against the Jets defense this week. Let's wrap up here with a couple more games before we take the break. Falcons-Giants is one we have talked a lot about already. I think you can safely say for the home team, and I just saw that Adam Schefter tweeted that looks like the Giants are going to be adding Eli's number 10 jersey number to the Ring of Honor at MetLife. So that's going to be happening today. So if there was ever a guarantee the Giants are winning at least one game this season, it's this game. They had the not yet dead ghost of Eli Manning is going to, you know, make sure they win this game, Andy, because if they don't, the Giants are going 0-16. that's all I know. But seriously, I think you start all the Giants this week. I mean, like you said, Daniel Jones, his value has largely been buoyed by his rushing totals, right? I think he had almost 100 yards rushing and a touchdown last week, and now he is playing a probably one of the worst defenses in the NFL in Atlanta. I know Saquon has been struggling, but again, I think maybe if there was ever a time for him to get right, you're starting him against the Atlanta Falcons. Right. And then you got Sterling Shepard, who has basically emerged as the guy to go for Daniel Jones, right? Over Darius Slayton, over Kenny Golladay, over Kadarius Toney, over everyone. Sterling Shepard is the pass catcher to own in New York, it would seem.
Well, and Joe, I had him in my Sportsnet waiver wire article before it was cool.
There you
go. Before it was cool. When he was owned in 27% of Yahoo leagues, now his ownership is up to 78%. And yeah, you just got to look at, you know, we may not like it. We may want Kenny Golladay to be the top guy, but he is not right now. Maybe he is at the end of the year. I would expect it to be. But right now, it's Sterling Shepard, who has been an absolute fantasy stud. 9 targets the first game, 10 targets last week. Yeah. You said it. Atlanta is awful. And look at the success he had against the defenses of Denver and Washington. 2 really good defenses. So why not Atlanta? Like, Sterling Shepard could be one of the top fantasy wide receiver plays this entire week.
Yeah, it's very possible. It's definitely very possible. Sterling Shepard, I think I had him in my start sits article this weekend because, you know, people might be scared off by the fact that it's the Giants and Shepard is not like a household name. But hey, if you have him on your team, you're very lucky because Daniel Jones, maybe Kenny Golladay is still getting right. We said it in the preseason that because Golladay had that, what I think it was the hamstring injury, because he did have the injury, basically he didn't get any time to have any kind of cohesive practices with Daniel Jones in the preseason. So I guess Jones going back to old reliable Sterling Shepard, and WR2, I would say, if only because there are a lot of wide receivers you can find value in, but still the upside for Sterling Shepard is still very, very, very high. And on the Falcons side of things, I mean, again, the Giants defense isn't amazing. So you are starting, I mean, you're starting Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts, no matter what, I would say, but I think you can probably get away with starting Mike Davis and Matt Ryan if you really had to.
I think so. Like, and it's not to say that Atlanta's not going to be putting up some points too, right? Going the other way here, because these are 2 really bad football teams. So it could be a nice little smorgasbord of fantasy. I would love to see a nice Kyle Pitts jump out game, like to make it, you know, not to alleviate some of our stress here, show, because I was really high on him. Now he hit double digit fantasy points last week. The target share has been there, 8 targets, 6 targets. You know, you want to see him get in the end zone. You want to see him a little bit more. Young guy, still 20 years old. So maybe this is a nice get-right game for Kyle Pitts, now his 3rd game in the NFL. Maybe this is a bit of a breakout for him, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, I did say to you that I thought that unless he walked on water, there was no way he was going to live up to the preseason hype. But hey, I do hope I'm wrong, because he is obviously he's a prodigious talent, and I do look forward to seeing what he can do. And if there was ever a week to do it, it's Matt Ryan chucking him the ball against the Giants defense. Let's get this last one here before we hit the break. Bengals Steelers. And, you know, no T. Higgins. T. Higgins has been ruled out, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, which means the pass catchers for Joe Burrow are Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd. I don't think anyone's starting CJ Uzoma. So I think it's pretty much just Chase and Boyd at this point, and Chase WR2, maybe Boyd a WR3 at this point. But I mean, Joe Burrow, you know, it's funny. Joe Burrow threw, I'm not kidding, on three consecutive passes against the Bears last week. He threw three consecutive interceptions. Like literally he would drop back to pass, threw a pick. The Bears did whatever they were doing with the football. They got the Bengals eventually get the football back. His next throw was a pick. And then the Bears again did whatever they were doing. Bengals got the ball back again. His next pick was an interception, and I'm pretty sure they returned it for a touchdown. Like, it, as someone who started Joe Burrow in a Superflex league, I was watching it in the studio, and all I'm doing is saying, oh, my God, like, what is Joe Burrow doing? Stop doing
He's
that.
Already dead.
Oh,
He's
my.
Already
yeah,
dead.
Like, please. Good God. Oh. But you know what? I think, you know, if you're in a Superflex league, you may have no choice but to start Joe Burrow, like I am, unfortunately. But I think, you know, if you are in a one QB league, you want to leave Joe Burrow on the bench because the Steelers defense truly is no joke. And if they can hold Josh Allen to, like, you know, a modest fantasy showing in week one, boy, you better imagine they can do that for a Bengals squad that is already shorthanded because of injury.
Well, and for Pittsburgh, it's all about the defense. That's all they have. The offense is struggling. Their game plan is to ground and pound and just try to keep it low scoring and strike at the end, because right now, Ben Roethlisberger, he's just, his arm isn't there. It's not there. Yeah. So when you look at on the defense, they do get maybe a bit of a break because T.J. Watt is out. Now, you still have Melvin Ingram who can float around, so you're not exactly shorthanded, but you're out a starting linebacker as well with Alex Highsmith. So there are two notables gone. For the Bengals, I think the strategy just has to be, like, try to strike quick and make Pittsburgh play catch-up, and maybe you can force a turnover or something. Because otherwise, if it gets to that sort of grind it, slug it out, Cincinnati's not winning that game.
Well, when it comes to the Steelers offense too, I mean, I don't think we have to have too many conversations about Najee Harris. I mean, I know the offensive line has been struggling, but again, Najee Harris was likely drafted, depending on the size of your league, in the top, like, you know, 14 picks probably, or the top, you know, 18 picks or what have you. So if that's the case, then you're starting Najee Harris and you're hoping for more than an RB2 finish, but that's probably what you're going to get from him today as they probably try and continue to figure it out. And then no Deontay Johnson means that Juju and Chase Claypool get boosted in the rankings a little bit this week.
Oh yeah, they have to. And the question is going to be, we're going to get it a lot. Which one? Talent-wise, pure athleticism, it's Chase Claypool. If you had a wide receiver that was in their prime or at this point more talented, Chase Claypool could be one of the top three wide receivers in all of fantasy football. But he doesn't. So where does that ball distribution go? You know what, Joe? I'm not saying he's going to be the leader. I'm thinking maybe this could be a sneaky week for James Washington. We've seen him flash before, pop him out of the slot. He's Deontay's backup. In a DraftKings lineup, maybe I'm looking the way of James Washington, because that's something. He's $4,000 on DraftKings slate. I think that might be an interesting little contrarian play there.
That's not a bad one, honestly. I can't imagine James Washington, DFS-wise, is super highly owned. So I do like that. So yeah, there you go. James Washington as a potential thing to watch. But again, here's the thing. If you have Juju Smith-Schuster or you have Chase Claypool, you're starting them this week. And I don't think you should feel too bad about it. If you have like both, then hey, that's a tougher one. But if you only have the one, you should feel pretty good about your chances. I like Juju a little bit more, only because, again, Big Ben's waning arm strength. And based on what we saw last year, you know, a lot of the game plan for the Steelers was Juju would like basically stand around the line of scrimmage, and then he'd just throw him the ball, and he'd fall forward for like 2 yards, basically, right? So I think even if that's all what happens, if you're starting Juju in like a full or half PBR league, you'll probably be fine this week, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think so. It's just going to really be where that distribution goes. And again, what the game plan is, because if the Bengals, for fantasy wise, we should hope the Bengals get the ball first and Joe Burrow throws a bomb right away and puts Pittsburgh on the offensive, and that they have to be aggressive offensively, because then you can dink and dunk your way with Ben Roethlisberger, which is what his arm is allowing him to do right now. And you're going to have a nice day. If it is more turnovers, whatever, then I just see them trying to, you know, just toss it here and there, little runs to Harris. Like, I just don't see it being a good day if the Bengals can't force the issue on offense.
Yeah, and we'll have to see. I mean, the Bengals, you know, they've been a little inconsistent this year. They've been better than I think maybe some people expected with Joe Burrow coming back, a little more efficient. But again, after the showing against the Bears last weekend, I think there is some cause to be concerned. But we'll have to see what happens. Bengals Steelers, that goes later today. You're listening to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza. You can check out the menu on dominoes.ca. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we are going to wrap up with the last couple of start sits for the week three across the NFL. But again, you're listening to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, we're keeping it rolling here on The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza. Show and Andy across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Andy is in Cleveland, Ohio. I am in control, baseball control here in downtown Toronto, as we're also going to get you set for game 4 of 4 between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Minnesota Twins. That goes later today across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Pregame at 1 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. to 10 p.m., I think, is first pitch with Ben Wagner. But Andy, let's keep going here on the week three start sits. We only have a couple more left, so let's continue with Dolphins at Raiders. And again, we kind of talked about this with some of the 590-590 listener questions. Jacoby Brissett is the starter for at least a couple weeks as Tua Tagovailoa is on IR. And Miles Gaskin, Will Fuller, Jaylen Waddle, all questions about a lot of these guys. The truth is, if you have better options than many of these dudes, I think I would urge you to consider starting them, because we just don't know what the Dolphins offense will look like with Jacoby Brissett at the helm this week.
Yeah, like, I hope it means more work for Miles Gaskin from the running back side. I hope. But you're right, Cho. Like, we don't know. And Jacoby Brissett has proven from his time in Indianapolis as being a capable fill-in starting quarterback. He's not going to excite you. He's not going to be fantasy relevant himself. He can distribute the ball, but it's different because every quarterback might have a different favorite target. So where Jaylen Waddle was developing that chemistry going back to the college days with Tua, well, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be Jacoby's favorite target. And so you're in a little bit of a guessing game there, and that's kind of the concern. So I'm with you. I'm trying to avoid most Dolphins this week, if I can. You have Mike Gesicki, who's just been super disappointing.
Yeah,
this season as tight end. Like, I at least had him in the top 10, which, show, as we've seen, he still might be. It doesn't mean you have to have a good season to be a top 10 fantasy tight end.
Yeah, exactly. And I just when it comes to when it comes to any of these pass catchers, it's just, it's not really the fault of any of Will Fuller, Jaylen Waddle, Parker, or Gesicki. It's more the fault of the offensive line, which is essentially what got Tua injured in the first place. And if this was even a slightly, marginally better offensive line, I would say, you know what, start this guy or start that guy. But just with the way it's gone this year for the Dolphins so far, you know, even if Tua didn't have time to throw, I can't imagine Jacoby Brissett's going to have any more time to throw either, right? So if you can, just for this week, let's just see how the offense plays out in Miami. But of course, on the other side of things, you got the Raiders. Derek Carr, like you said, bona fide. Yeah, QB number one, probably a decent stream play if you at least need someone better than whoever you have this week. You know, otherwise, you're starting Darren Waller. It's not really a question about him. It's really a question about guys like Henry Ruggs or Bryan Edwards or Kenyon Drakes or Josh Jacobs.
I'll say this as well, Show. A sneaky play, again, if you're in wide receiver trouble, maybe as a flex. I'm not saying it's going to be something you want to do, but if you think you are forced to in PPR only and a cheap buy on DraftKings, Hunter Renfrow has very quietly made himself fantasy relevant. 13.5. And 12 fantasy points against those really difficult defenses in Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Miami's another tough one, but maybe not as tough. So, like, we're talking 9 targets and 7 targets in back-to-back game shows. That's significant. Like, we cannot ignore that.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm looking for a Raiders wide receiver, I'm going to shy away from Edwards. Henry Ruggs continues to be what he is. He's either going to get you 100-plus yards and a touchdown, or he's going to get you, like, 20 yards and do nothing. Yeah. So he's a roller coaster. That's a gamble. Hunter Renfrow could be a sneaky little play that gives you that. We love saying the higher floor. He's not gonna get you the super high ceiling, but the higher floor level of low double digits could be an interesting one.
Remind me again, what was his cost on DraftKings?
His cost on DraftKings. I don't have a contest up right now. He's gonna be cheap though.
Yeah, he is probably gonna be in the same conversation as guys like James White or Rondell Moore. Rondell Moore was 5K last I checked. I think Tyler Boyd last I checked was something like 4,700, and Marvin Jones Jr. was 4,900. So I can only imagine Hunter Renfrow is at least like he's in that conversation at max, probably less than them. I would also imagine, right? So there you go. That's the Raiders outlook there. Again, if you can avoid playing Kenyon Drake, if you can, I would. Again, probably better options than Drake at this point in the rush game. All right, let's do Bucks-Rams. Only a couple more games to go. Bucks-Rams here. Tom Brady visiting the Los Angeles Rams out west in L.A. And again, I think, Leonard Fournette, probably a flex, but virtually everyone on this offense. No Antonio Brown. Don't forget, he's not playing. He's on the COVID IL list. So that basically means more targets to go around for Chris Godwin, for Mike Evans, who has been kind of disappointing to start the season, but maybe without Antonio Brown, he gets more burn. And of course, Rob Gronkowski, who has been probably the best tight end after Travis Kelce this year, which is pretty astonishing.
Wow. What a guy. What a guy, Gronk. It said what with the Eli and Peyton watch along on Monday Night Football. He doesn't watch game tape. And he just I just don't buy people. It's like tremendous. And you're playing Gronk. Mike Evans, remember too, folks, last week after the very disappointing start, 2 touchdowns, 5 catches on 9 targets. So no Antonio Brown. I think you up that. Yeah, you're going with Gronk. You're going with Godwin. And if you can avoid any running backs, like we said, Leonard Fournette, if you have to. But otherwise, show, it's kind of like Kansas City. They're going to throw the football a lot.
And don't let the Rams defense scare you away from starting Tom Brady. He has been... I don't know how the guy does it. He's been drinking from the fountain of youth. He is, it's all that avocado ice cream and not eating tomatoes and stuff is keeping the guy pliable and young, Andy. He's just, he's been, this is what happens when you drink water, people. Drink more water. This is what you get. You become Tom Brady, apparently. On the other side of things, you got the Rams, you got Stafford, you're starting Stafford, you got Cooper Kupp, who has been, I'm pretty sure has been the wide receiver one, not just AWR1, but the wide receiver one through 2 weeks, which is just absolutely insane. So it's not like you need us to tell you to start Cooper Kupp. Robert Woods, still probably like a higher tier WR2. And then I think you can probably get away with starting Tyler Higbee as well as the tight ends. I mean, the Buccaneers defense is fine against, all things considered, but they have been eaten a little bit in the first couple weeks of the season. The question that really I have for you, Andy, is Darrell Henderson looks like he's not going to play. So are you brave enough to start Sony Michel?
I don't want to. Is it an interesting situation where, is Sony Michel going to be super motivated? Yeah. He wants to stick it to the path and show that he's legit and he can be the guy. So with Henderson out, we all look about, what do we say, show? Opportunity equals success in fantasy football. So Sony Michel is going to get it. However, show, lurking in the back is Jake Funk. Is the Funkster? Is the Funkster going to come up? Is it time for the Funk University shirts coming out? I don't know.
I'll say this. If maybe a new game plan was installed between between last week's injury and now, and it's, I wouldn't put it past Sean McVay. I'm sure most coaches would do something like that. But when it comes to Sony Michel, I mean, he assumed every piece of the workload when Darrell Henderson went down. He got every piece of that rushing workload, which would lead me to believe he is going to be at least a large part of the Rams offense without any Darrell Henderson. And again, I think that means that at best he is a flex play because we have seen that the Bucs rush defense at least has been enough to keep guys like, Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott in check, right? It's been enough to keep a whole bunch of guys in check. So I would say that's where I land on that flex play for me. But again, if you picked him up off waivers, you probably got him for pretty cheap. So maybe you can put him if you have a Miles Gaskin, for example, as we just talked about, maybe you can put someone like Sony Michel in over Gaskin. Only a couple more games here to go. Seahawks, Vikings, our second last one. And again, much similar to many of the conversations we have had throughout this show today, Andy. Russell Wilson, QB1. Tyler Lockett, WR1. And you know what? DK Metcalf, WR1 too. The questions only about the Seattle offense revolve around, do you dare play Gerald Everett? And is Chris Carson anything more than an RB2? And I think both questions are probably no.
Yeah, I don't want Gerald Everett at all. I'm not touching. Like, you got to show me what's up. And he just hasn't. And Carson, you know what? RB2, which I wasn't expecting him to be the top fantasy running back, but I expected more out of Carson at this point. Week two, you know, maybe this is a pop through week, but that Minnesota defense is not elite, but it's certainly tough. So you look at Carson and the numbers he's put up, like, they haven't been horrible, but last week he had the two touchdowns. But the yardage was the issue on the ground.
31 yards.
Now he got the two touchdowns, so that's fine. But who are we seeing? What are we seeing from Chris Carson this week against Minnesota? So, yeah, he's in the RB2 conversation. That's all.
Yeah, the Vikings held Chase Edmonds and James Conner combined to 72 yards on the ground last week. Ooh. So I would say, and again, I mean, you compare that to the Vikings outing in week one and Joe Mixon ate them up, right? So, I mean, are we going to get the Joe Mixon performance or are we going to get the Edmonds/Conner performance? I would say, as the answer usually is, probably somewhere in the middle, because I think Chris Carson at this stage of his career is better than both Connor and Edmonds. But again, the Vikings defense, rush defense specifically, isn't a slouch. So I would, you know, fire him up as an RB2 and, you know, temper your expectations. And then we talked about the Vikings kind of off the top of the show. Kirk Cousins with Dalvin Cook not going to go today, as far as we can tell. Alexander Mattison is going to get the start if Cook is inactive. And I mean, you know, even if Cook is active, Mattison probably going to get more of the workload, but it certainly looks like it's going to be Madison's backfield today specifically. Then you got Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, those two guys, you're starting them. You know, I don't think there's any question about whether or not you should start Justin Jefferson or Thielen. The questions really here are Kirk Cousins, do you treat him as more than a QB2? I say yes. I'm curious as to what you think, and also your outlook for a guy like KJ Osborne.
Well, for Kirk Cousins, you have to right now, show you similar to the conversation we were having with Derek Carr. We've been programmed to not consider them as fantasy QB1s, and in the past, rightfully so. Look at Kirk Cousins. 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, guys being super efficient, and beyond that, 351 passing yards in week one, 244 in week two. A Seattle defense is good, but certainly nowhere near the old Legion of Boom. So with Kirk Cousins, do I feel confident that I can start him as my fantasy quarterback this week? Yes, in one QB leagues. Yes, I do. I think you can put him on DraftKings, and if you are iffy or need quarterback help, I think Kirk Cousins is as good as anyone else that's available. 71% roster, so he might still be floating around, but probably not. And KJ Osborne, like, show, it's been all about Jefferson, Thielen, and then Osborne week one, it was like, okay, you know, everyone has a week. And then week two, it's like, okay, well, now we have to start paying attention. Why? And especially with Cook out, where you don't necessarily want to lean on the run as much, all of a sudden, KJ Osborne becomes a very interesting piece, having 15 targets over the first two games.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Jefferson has 19 targets, and he leads all three of these pass catchers with 19 targets over two games. So it's pretty crazy to say that someone like KJ Osborne is only behind by 4, right? I mean, I expect that number to be a larger divide as the season goes on, but for week 3, that's pretty good, right? Like, it's enough to raise your eyebrows for someone who was, I want to say he was drafted in what, like the 5th or 6th round, right? So I think it's pretty impressive for an offense that, I mean, as far as we thought coming into this season, weren't going to throw the ball a whole hell of a lot, and here they are, right? So I like the KJ Osborne pick. And our final start sit here, Andy, Packers at 49ers. Or actually, pardon me, our final two here, Packers at 49ers. Rodgers, again, QB1. Aaron Jones, monster, RB1 as well. Devontae Adams, again. You know what? I don't even think we really need to spend too much time here. You're starting virtually all the Packers, including Robert Tonyan. And you're not really starting MVS. You're not starting Lazard. And you're not starting Randall Cobb or anything like that, right? The real question is on the other side of things. I mean, I think really it's just the, you know, you're going to start Debo Samuel and you're going to start George Kittle. The question really is, how do you treat and how do you look at the messy running back situation between Mitchell and Trey Sermon?
Well, I think you try to avoid it. And let's not forget to show Jacques Patrick has been called up. Jacques, I picked him up off of waiver wires. I'm not going to play him yet, but I got him. Jacques Patrick
I like it.
Is also in the mix. So we know with Kyle Shanahan, could this be? I'm just putting it out to the fantasy universe here, show.
Okay.
And I'm not going to make it my danger zone pick, but Jacques Patrick, I'm kind of getting a bit of a 100-yard vibe today out of Jacques Patrick out of nowhere. Like a stone-cold stunner out of nowhere. Jacques Patrick! Jacques Patrick! Boom. I think 100.
Well, okay, but just to be clear, you're not advising starting him in fantasy line. Okay.
I am not. However, I will do a couple of like 25-cent DraftKings slate, and I'm going to put Jacques Patrick in the damn thing. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Honestly, if you can stay away from the Sermon Mitchell Patrick backfield right now, boy, I advise you to do that if you can, because that's like a Cerberus three-headed monster back there, and Jeff Wilson's going to come back soon. And boy, yeah, I want as little to do with that as possible, because it's very possible that Mitchell is a guy on any given week. It's possible that Sermon is the guy in any given week. But yeah, and I also we didn't mention Brandon Ayuk. I think you sit him until you see signs of life from that part of the offense.
Yeah, and George Kittle's been really disappointed, but you're going to have to play him no matter what.
That's the thing, yeah. You can't – the Packers allow the third most fantasy points to tight ends, so maybe Kittle turns it around this week. But, again, not a lot of passing volume. It's really going to be a lot of runs against the Green Bay Packers. Okay, this is our final fantasy start sit for the week. Eagles-Cowboys, the Monday nighter. Jalen Hurts was a little disappointing on the Eagles side of things last week, but he did get a touchdown and 82 yards rushing. He finished as the QB10 last week, despite only having 190 yards passing. And again, that rushing floor, Andy, is always going to be what keeps Jalen Hurts in any sort of conversation. And probably, unfortunately, it does downgrade Devontae Smith and other guys like Jalen Reagor. But, I mean, you probably weren't starting very many pass catchers in this offense outside of Smith and probably Dallas Goedert anyways.
Well, that's it. And this is, I can't wait. This is a juicy fantasy matchup on all fronts. And actually, on one of my fantasy team show, I have Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts.
There you go.
So I have to make the decision who to start. I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts myself. Dak, fantasy-wise, Dak was a disaster last week. Oh, my. 8.4 fantasy points. What the bleep, Dak?
Yeah.
Jeez. Zeke Elliott, Tony Paul, Zeke Elliott's all over the place. Like, this week from the Dallas side, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, yes and yes. I still feel confident you can start Dak. But, like, what happens to Ezekiel Elliott usage-wise is going to be really telling. Because, show, if we see a third straight week of strange usage, we have to really start questioning what is happening in Dallas and what do you do with Zeke.
I just think that, again, for the second straight week, I think it was just another matchup that really benefited the kind of usage that Tony Pollard sees over the kind of running back that Ezekiel Elliott is, right? Like, I really do think, and I believe the Eagles have lost Brandon Graham for the season on their defensive line, and the offensive line is playing pretty well. So, I mean, look, you're starting Ezekiel Elliott anyways, right? And I just think, is there room for Tony Pollard to operate maybe out of the flex spot on your team this week? Probably. But at the same time, I wouldn't expect too much, because I do still think this is the Ezekiel Elliott show. But again, you're right. If this is another week like the first 2 weeks, we're going to have to consider other options. Not other options, but you're going to have to consider downgrading Ezekiel Elliott in the overall running back rankings. But that's it, Andy. That's our Week 3 starts sits. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll take another trip to the danger zone. You're listening to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Welcome to The Danger Zone.
I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
That's right, danger is our middle name, Andy, for both of us here on the Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network. We got a boogie, so I'll recap our picks last week real quick. You picked Jared Goff to be a top 5 QB. He was the 15th overall QB in week 2. I went with Noah Fant, top 3 in PPR. He was the 7th overall tight end. Who are you going with this week for your dangerous pick in the danger zone, Andy?
AJ Osborne season show with the Minnesota Vikings, top 5 fantasy wide receiver. I don't care what format. Book it. Danger zone. Osborne.
There you go. KJ Osborne for Andy. I will go with Daniel Jones, top 3 QB in fantasy this week. You know what? Let's make it more dangerous, Andy. Top 2. He will be number 2 at worst this week against the abysmal Atlanta Falcons defense. So again, Andy picks KJ Osborne. I'm picking Daniel Jones. You can always text us at 590-590 for your fantasy. fantasy questions. We will answer all of them after here on the show. But again, for Josh, for Andy. Andy, enjoy your game in Cleveland, my friend. I will talk to you next week. Go Browns for Andy. Go Patriots for me. And you've been listening to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Always worth